Welcome to another episode of Functional Fundamentals. I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
I'm Brad.
And today we are going to be talking about all kinds of things, but primarily training, lifestyle changes, New Year's resolutions, and how a lot of people set themselves up to fail by making these grand declarations at the beginning of the year, when there's a much simpler way to implement these improvements that you want to bring into your life. Mm-hmm. Like, Mike, what's the most common New Year's resolution? You're here. You're at a gym. Today, beginning of the new year, I saw the parking lot much more full than it usually is on Sundays.
Biggest one is always lose weight. I'm gonna eat my Thanksgiving dinner, my feast. I'm gonna have my Christmas cookies all year.
Yeah, because they can't do anything before Halloween. They can't do anything before Thanksgiving. They can't do anything before Christmas.
Right.
Because apparently they're eating like crap all month for those 3 months. When in actuality, it's a couple days.
No, but they can spread off. Well, because you have Halloween, so you have all the candy. And then you start getting your pumpkin pies and then your pumpkin cookies and pumpkin spice lattes and all that kind of stuff in November. And then you have a big feast of turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and all that stuff. And then from then on, it's Christmas cookies.
Yeah, and then apparently, and then even the people that aren't like munching days, weeks up to that day, like they think that they're under the impression that one day off will completely ruin whatever changes, diets they've tried to implement, which screams to me that their diet, their plan, whatever they're doing is much too strict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if you're, it also shows their thinking model of like very black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like you said, take the holidays and just count them up, 10 or 11 major holidays. If that's going to, eating poorly on those 10, 11 days is going to, like, throw off your whole...
Out of 365.
Yeah, going to throw off your whole eating plan or your hat lifestyle, then there's something wrong with your day-to-day routines.
It's America as we know it, though. It's, they want to say, well, I can't... How many times do you ever go to a barbecue? Like, on the 4th of July, it's like, I'd love it, but I can't. I'm on a diet.
I don't know. I don't get invited to barbecues, Mike.
Yeah, we're not as handsome as you. I have to make my own barbecue.
I know.
Barbecue of solitude.
Okay, well, you know what I mean, all right?
barbecue of solitude.
Yes.
Sounds like a good cookbook.
Brad, would you like another serving? Yes, I will.
Well, yes, Brad, I would. But, and then an excuse that I hear to that is, well, I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. And... I instantly changed my mind as well. But that's what I hear. I hear, well, I'm all or nothing. I'm all or nothing. I'm all or nothing. And I'm not sure where that mindset comes from.
I always throw a flag on that because when you meet those people, say all or nothing, they go and work on the treadmill for 20 minutes to a half hour and read their book or watch their movie, and then they're out. They're not on. It's just another excuse.
And those are the type of people that do the yo-yo dieting of, I'm doing the cabbage soup diet, and then I'll try this for 2 months, and then when I fall forward with this, I'll get back to my old ways, and 6 months later, I'll do something else extreme. So,
yeah.
But I agree. Back to the original point, if your success on your lifestyle change for your diet is reliant on 11, let's just say 15 days out of the year, of you have to eat well during the holidays, you can't... splurge a little bit, enjoy yourself while you're with your family and friends, and something's wrong with the other, days of the year that you should be doing.
353 days left.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people look at it as almost how like an alcoholic is that's being sober, where, you know, an alcoholic that's being sober can't just go have, you know, one drink. It's 11 times a year. So they look at it the same way. I can't have a burger and fries or cake or something like that because I'll fall off the wagon. They act like it's the same kind of thing, where, you know, eating healthy is a product of a healthy lifestyle.
It's a habit.
It's a habit.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have, you know, a chocolate cake or cookies or something like that every once in a while, that's okay. It's just that's not going to ruin everything else as long as the rest of our lifestyle or habits are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If we get maybe 20 minutes of physical activity a week, and then we eat like crap, or we eat healthy, then we're going to eat like crap. Yeah, then that's going to be an issue because, again, we only have one of the pillars being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And we can have a good mental state. We can have good rehab. We can have good strength and conditioning program, and then we can have an okay nutrition plan. It doesn't have to be perfect. None of them have to be perfect. They just all have to be efficient in one way or another.
But you're always going to have those obsessive people, though, and you see them on Christmas Day running, you know, they're doing their, you know, 7 miles, and like, I have to get out there and I have to do this, and, you know, you're going to have that. But the general population needs to be more fluid in their ideals, I think.
Yeah, they need to give themselves a break every once in a while.
I know.
Well, it goes back to what makes them happy.
To quality of life. You need to focus on your quality of life.
That's it. Quality of life. And those people that run.
Don't tie that directly to your weight. Don't tie that directly to this number that really doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. Or an image, because people are always saying, I want to look like this person. And little do they know this person wants to look like another person, or they're taking drugs or have an eating disorder. So, you know.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Or genetics. Who knows?
Yeah. But when it all comes down, like, you know, when you say the person that runs the 7 miles a day, they may enjoy it. But the ones that don't, that's the issue.
Yeah, that is the issue. If you feel guilty about something and then you have to go run 7 miles, it's exercise bulimia, and that's a real problem. So
yeah.
When you're associating doing something with shame and there is a resulting action, that's the disorder. So
I can't change my life now.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't be engaging in such shameful behaviors and then punishing yourself. I mean, there's tons of people out there who eat healthy. It's called orthorexia, where you eat so rigid and healthy, and if you stray outside that, you have such shame, and you're limiting whole food groups, whether it's like, oh, I want to be vegan, gluten-free, and this and that, and you start taking away, oh, I'm not going to eat this food group, and you start just limiting down to a point where it's affecting your health, not only mental but physical health. But you, in your ideas, you want to eat healthy, and it gets skewed some way.
See, that's a slippery slope, and I've seen it before where there's really no definition for it, but people have done the same thing with weightlifting or training, where if they miss a day, they feel guilty, and then they'll like try to do double the time the next day.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes you just need a break, and maybe it isn't a physical break. Maybe it's just a mental break for one day.
Mm-hmm.
Let yourself have those. I mean, just sit there and be you. You don't have to. We're so obsessed with this, like, go and get it nonstop culture. Like,
mm-hmm.
Brad and I were texting about it. Like, we expect you to be on point. You're 100% 24 hours a day. No, like, some days you just need a day to relax. Like, take it in.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a friend. Is it like constantly like outdoing things? And I'm like, you need to remember, for as much energy as you're putting out there, you need to take that much in.
Makes sense. It's a whole term of working in and working out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but how many people do you talk to, like common people in the gym or on the street, that not only are aware of mental health, but they're physically tracking their mental health, like checking in with themselves or like setting up mental health programs?
That's kind of like a taboo.
Most people don't know that they have an issue.
Yeah.
They think the shame is normal because it's ingrained in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's more of a taboo thing. And when you say something about mental health, the first thing they think of is a psych ward where someone needs to be in therapy. They don't think, well, you know, I do this because I felt bad. They don't put that in effect. They don't tie that in. That's a mental issue.
But here's what gets me really upset about that. I agree with you first, but at the same time, they are trying to better themselves. So if they were going to therapy, when like, that's a good thing. They're getting help. It's like Dave just got his wisdom teeth out. Should we shame Dave for trying to better his health? Like, how dare you go to the dentist, Dave? I can't be friends with you.
Yeah, well,
it's just one of those things.
Exactly. Like, Dave, what the heck? Now you can't eat certain foods for a couple days? Like, we're not friends. Oh, you can't work out the absolute next day? You're a terrible person.
Yeah.
but you see that all the time, where someone would be like, you know, I go to this person, to this, you know, I have this chiropractor, this massage therapist, or this strength coach, or I go to this yoga studio, and they have all these things that they say they want to be proud of what they do,
mm-hmm.
but then when it comes to something real personal, like, oh, I had my blood work done, or my hip worked on, or I had my mental health looked at,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, people are like, ooh, mental health,
what's going on? Ooh.
Yeah. Or if you have someone that's a yogi that only does yoga, and you tell someone that they went to this great Pilates place, it's like, well, the Pilates is this, but you know, yoga is that. And everybody wants to bash something that they're not doing, mainly because one, they don't want to try it,
mm-hmm.
or two, it's just they're this that ignorant on the issue.
Yeah. Or I think a lot of people like to be unique and have their unique identity. Like, oh, I just do CrossFit, or I just do yoga.
Yeah.
This is my niche, and I, you know, shame everything else that's not that because I feel like this is the best and I'm unique.
And maybe, I mean, that's the thing. People need to realize that it's the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have an entirely different person on the other side of the street, and they want to do something different.
Yeah.
It doesn't concern you. Mind your business.
Yeah, and they value different. They've went through many different experiences, and they value different things. Let them be. Unless they're coming to you for advice, and you can say, "Oh, you just do yoga. Well, maybe you should do some strength conditioning." If they're coming to Mike and say, "Hey, you know, help me out," sure, give your advice. But otherwise, let them be.
Yeah, and I agree with that because I've met a lot of people where they'll tell me things, and some of the stuff they're saying is like, "Okay, I really don't believe what you're saying," but if you want to tell me this or you want to tell me that, go ahead. It's not going to really bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to lie to me, that's not going to help us get where you want to get to. And if it makes you feel better, fine. I guess I helped you that day. But and some people say, well, you got to be more pick and pry. You can't be too gullible in certain people. I'm like, well, why? If someone wants to lie to themselves to me to make their image seem better or their workout seem more efficient. If they're not paying me a bunch of money to make sure I keep them on track, I really don't care.
Yeah, but that's, I think that's good because you're keeping an open mind, and that's very important because say you come up to me, you don't know what I do for a living, you're saying all this nutrition stuff. At first, I'm kind of tuned out, but I always have to remind myself, like, maybe they're not all full of it, and I can hear something that they put a lot of research and time in, and maybe I can learn something from them. But it takes a lot of work to keep reminding, like, don't initially just shut down.
Yeah.
But I agree. Yeah, that's.
And it's hard because I hear all the time where someone will try to tell me this new article they read in Men's Fitness or whatever it was, or, you know, it's like, oh, I want to get bigger. I want to get stronger. So I need to work on this exercise, that exercise. And they start jumping in all these exercises and they're trying to tell me how to train and how I should look at things. And my first response is, well, you don't move well first. So how are we supposed to develop these muscles if you can't develop them, if you can't fire them individually? So we have that big conversation, and they're like, well, the magazine never said that, or I never heard that before. And they act like this big thing. It's like, well, I've never heard that before. Then I show them what we're talking about, and they get this eye like, wow, I never really thought that.
Mm-hmm.
I just spent the last 20 minutes telling you about that. But to them, it's like, well, I didn't know about it, so it's voodoo to me.
Yeah. Well, and like Dave was saying, some things just resonate more with others, and we see that in jiu-jitsu a lot. Like, jiu-jitsu's changed my life. It's for everyone. Do this. I don't believe that. I don't think it's for everyone. Not everyone's going to endure the pain in, you know, some of the people you meet in the combat sport gym, and just like ballet's changed certain people's life. I'm not going to go to ballet and be like, had this life-changing experience.
People, you can be my swan. People like to claim that. I see articles all the time that jiu-jitsu makes you a better person. And I'm sorry. Jiu-jitsu alone doesn't make you a better person. Your effort into something you're passionate about made you a better person.
Mm-hmm. I see that a lot, too.
I absolutely hate that.
It's probably the humbling jiu-jitsu factor, does it?
Because there are terrible people that do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, high rank, too. We've had the discussion before, and just because you're very good at something doesn't mean you're a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not intentionally bashing this sport that I'm fairly passionate about, but jiu-jitsu alone doesn't make you a better person. Muay Thai alone doesn't make you a better person. You being passionate and wanting to better yourself makes you a better person. And whether that outlet is jiu-jitsu, ballet, strength and conditioning, cooking, whatever, it is your passion and drive that makes you a better person.
Yeah.
That makes you a more understanding.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that led me to martial arts is before, like, all the McDojos came up, and you know, you have all these cult-like behaviors, it really had a good foundation in, like, a philosophy of life and standing for respect and all these different things, and had, like, core values in it along with philosophy, because a lot of the great fighters, the great warriors, the great samurais, I'm talking, like, early on, not in this century, were also great artists, great poets, great philosophers, and great fighters, all in one person. That's what they stood for, and they have this great culture of respect and being humble and being humbled by other people. And I think that's lost in today's culture, and there's a little bit of that. But if you show up to a jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai gym and you're going to go through it and you're going to put in the work to be the best athlete and win all these competitions, that is not going to make you a better person. If you actively seek out what those values are and continually hold yourself accountable to those old school values, then yes, I agree, it'll change you for the better. But without seeking that out and working on it day in and day out, I don't see that you're going to get any benefit.
Yeah, it's a unique environment because it's one where you can be humbled very quickly and you learn that there's always someone bigger and better. Mm-hmm. So you stop... the chances for you to stop comparing yourself to others and start looking inward is higher with a combat sport or a martial art than other outlets.
But there's so many people that they do certain things so they can be the rooster of the nest. You know,
absolutely. They want to be the big fish in the small pond.
And you see that starting out. Like, I've seen that just starting out in jiu-jitsu where you see people, like, in their nature of douchebaggery, let's call it, and they start off and they get humbled, but they stay the same person, and now they're a higher belt with better skill. They're still that same person, and now it's shining through more, whereas before they hit it, because they were getting humbled, and now that they're humbling other people, their true self comes out.
Yeah, and so, yeah, exactly. Sometimes you don't see it.
That's when you drag them out back and beat them with a right sock away. Full of potatoes. They don't bruise as bad.
Okay.
Now, so, guys, don't go home and do that on somebody. But you see it all where else. And again, when someone tries to work out, I mean, I always find it funny in the gym, especially this time of year. You'll see the big guys walking around like, you know, get all this new fresh blood, fresh meat in the gym. I'm going to show them, you know, I'm the king guy. Okay. So you'll just see them walk. Like, they'll do a couple lifts, get pumped up, walk around the gym with their chest puffed out, find a young girl. Typically, it's an attractive young girl. They're like, I'll help you out. They're always trying to... I can help you. I know what I'm doing because look at me. I'm so big and strong.
Yeah.
But then you see that every time you talk to them, like, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, my shoulders are hurting today, or my hips are real sore, but I'm jacked, so it all works out well.
Well, I'm just walking in here. I saw people, like, do a couple reps and go to the
mirror. Yep.
And they're, like, pulling their shirt back. And, like, look at my abs. And I'm, like, just like, oh, God.
Yeah. The only time my shirt comes up in the gym is to wipe sweat off of my brow. And then I'm right back at it.
And you're checking your abs at the same time.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, girls. But yeah, like, and I imagine for you guys, it takes a lot more restraint.
It's you just laugh a lot. And then you go home on your journal and you talk about the douchery that you just saw.
And I'm like, because I see it too, and it really doesn't bother me until I see someone spreading misinformation.
Yeah.
Well, you're part of it. That's why it doesn't bother you.
Yeah, part of it.
I saw you today when you're wiping your shirt off. You're like, yeah, wiping my brow.
I don't have my glasses on. I can't even see that far. But so, like, when for you guys, how is that?
As misinformation?
Far as, like, when, so it's one thing for somebody to say, like, well, I'm on this diet, blah, 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 blah. But then you see someone spreading information that you know is incorrect. Mm-hmm. Do you step in, or do you just, like...
I've learned not to step in.
Yeah, I don't step in unless they ask my opinion.
Yeah,
I say, what do you think, and then I will say my piece.
That's the only appropriate time it is to give your opinion, and...
Because otherwise, they're probably not going to want to receive it anyway.
Well, they'll automatically be defensive. It's just like if you go up to... I always compare it to this. You go to the gym, you walk in, and then you start correcting everyone's form, even though they didn't ask for it. Like, this guy's bench, and you go correct his. Mm-hmm. This guy's squat, and you correct his form. So if you'd go do that, Mike, you might get in a fight.
I have done that before, and it didn't end well.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
I hurt somebody.
You hurt somebody?
With my fists.
Oh, my God.
No, fight broke out. It was just, but again, I've done that where, you know, I was fresh out of school. You know, I had my physical therapy degree. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I know how to help people. So I'd go to clinics and I'd go to hospitals and stuff like that. And then I was able, and that was my job at the hospital, was to go help people with their form, making sure things are done correctly, and then make sure the rehab's done properly. So then when I go to a gym, I thought, the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, well, my job is to help as many people as I possibly can. So when I see someone doing something wrong, I'll go and say, hey, let's do it this way. It's more efficient. And at the hospital, when I did it, the eyes got real wide. It was, oh, thank you. I feel so much better. Do it to the gym. It's like, dude, I didn't ask for it. I don't really care. This is how I do it. You're too small, or mm-hmm. you're not yeah. as big or as strong as I am, or this or that. Or then what happens is you do it, and you hear the laud under the breath, and you become this, like this leopard, or yeah, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
The evil guy in the gym that always pick and prod.
Ostracized.
So I learned just to keep my mouth shut. Now I'll see something like I've showed you guys things I've seen that was just disgusting and scary looking, and I just look and kind of just take it in.
Or even during the cooldown today, I saw two giant red flags near us, and I was mm-hmm. just like, I was staring at him. I was just like, oh my gosh, well, you're gonna get hurt. Like,
yep. Yeah, I saw you staring at him. So I was staring at Dave, and Dave was staring at him. I wonder what's going through his head.
I missed that one. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, there are two culprits. There is one on the doing box jumps, and he looked like your buddy RG3.
Oh
yeah, yeah, and he's going. And then I saw another guy in the heavy bag, and mm-hmm. he was just terrible.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I figured.
Leaning forward, so his head was past.
He almost fell over going around the bag.
Yeah.
He wasn't even throwing
his
a punch.
His feet were crossing each other. His head was constantly over his knees, and he was shortening his punches, so he was throwing with just arms, absorbing all the shock in his shoulders. And
but see, the amazing thing is when you tell someone, when you try to fix them and they didn't ask for the advice,
mm-hmm.
it's, well, this is how I've always done it, or this is how I was taught by some great, great fighter,
yeah.
or when it comes to like box jumps, well, this is how we do it in CrossFit, or this is how this magazine said how to do it, or this or that. And they don't realize that when it comes to weightlifting, it's very similar to nutrition. It's science. It's done this way because this is the way it's supposed to be done. There's no black and white. This is how you do it. You're laying on a box soft because it's less absorption on your knees and your ankles and your hips. Again, people don't realize it. The box on a box jump is to develop enough power to get as high as we possibly can, and the box is there so we don't go all the way up and all the way down. That's the reason of the box, is to jump on it, then step off. It's to avoid the force of gravity on our joints.
Mm-hmm.
But people are like jumping on and off real, real quick. That doesn't make any sense. And they think, well, it's a cardio thing. Well, no, box jumps is a powerful movement. So are deadlifts, so are power cleans. It's not meant to go as fast as possibly can. And it's just like anything else. We're like, well, this is how I was taught, or this is what so-and-so said, or so-and-so said. So now I just look at it, kind of cringe, and be like, hopefully that wasn't my spine, or I'm glad that none of my athletes go through that.
Yeah.
And then I let them do. And then eventually, down the road, they always come to me saying, hey, my back or my shoulder or something's bothering me.
And you hope they do it before it becomes a structural issue.
Yeah. But they always come back saying, you know, I'll talk to so many athletes in here, and they're like, oh, you'll have the knee braces on. I'm like, why are you wearing a knee brace when you're doing, you know, power cleans or deadlifts? Well, it helps because my knees get sore. They shouldn't get sore. Well, it's because I played. No, it shouldn't. Well, because no. And they always have these excuses.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of this, because of that. And then after they gave me like 10 excuses, I'm like, have you ever had a catastrophic injury? What does that mean? Well, broken bone, car accident, anything like that. No, never. Then you shouldn't be wearing knee braces.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to wear knee sleeves like during jiu-jitsu and stuff. And also, like, I leave them in my bag just in case, like, I do have a catastrophic, like, injury during jiu-jitsu, and I'll throw it on. Or someone else does. That way I have one they can borrow. But I just kind of, like, chuckle. I was like, oh, I don't need these things anymore. Like, I know how to, like, mm-hmm. rehab properly. I don't need my knee sleeve or, like, elbow sleeves or anything. Like, I just know what to do to take care of it.
Yeah.
So, New Year's.
Yeah, we kind of got off topic
yeah.
a little bit. Yeah,
we did. Which is fine. But, so New Year's resolutions.
Yes.
And we just, as far as like not giving yourself slack, anything like that. And people expect to make these large changes in their lives just because it's New Year's.
Well, it's like anything else.
It's all like, it's a new year, it's beginning. A new me, blah, 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 blah. Like, you see people doing it. They like to make declarations on New Year's. They like to make declarations on their birthdays.
Mm-hmm. And I always look at it as if a date changes your mm-hmm. attitude, you're never going to change the outcome of your life. You need to actually change multiple things in your life bit by bit. Increase that habit. So instead of why I always tell you, you know, they always talk about everybody starts work on Monday. And that's a good way of starting it, is start a new task on a Monday or the beginning of the month. Don't try to change everything on a calendar, because you'll crash and burn. That's why some people do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when people talk to me about New Year's resolutions, they'll be like, okay, work out, do something every day for the first month of January. So just do something, whether it be squats, push-ups, go to the gym, just do something, make it a, build a habit. Mm-hmm. And then in February, continue that habit from you to have January and pick up a new habit. Write, read, draw, start eating fruit every day or something like that. Yeah. And eventually, after 3 or 4 months, you have all these new healthy habits that, one, are helping you mentally, physically, and emotionally on how to better yourself in a lifestyle. And then now it's not a resolution. It's a habit-forming lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that you pointed out before is so many people have these negative and poor habits. So when they eat poorly or they don't miss a workout, they feel like their whole life's coming down.
Yeah.
Just build healthy habits. And that's the only thing we can do. And the main reason why people a lot like to use January 1 is it's the new calendar year. But it's after 6 weeks of eating poorly, being stressed out both financially and emotionally with Christmas and gift-giving and all this other stuff. So it's now like when January 1 hits, it's like, whew, kids are going back to school.
It's like the end of a cleanse.
It's exactly. It's like the end of a cleanse. They get to start over again.
Mm-hmm. An emotional, financial.
So that's a good way of looking at it.
And I have a question for you, Brad. So for the people that, you know, want to get their, meet some new nutritional goals with the resolution, would it be easier, maybe more efficient, more appropriate to focus on, because I obviously you don't want to change do this giant change to your diet and be too strict.
Mm-hmm.
Should they focus on cutting out bad foods or adding in good foods? And maybe this isn't as black as white and white as I thought, but if they had to choose one, rather than me say I have a choice, I can either cut out soda pop.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can start adding in an extra fruit and vegetable every single day.
And I think it's up to the individual person. So, if I'm meeting with you and the discussion goes something like, what do you think would be best for your success? Obviously, I can pinpoint and say adding extra calorie or cutting out extra calories through pop would be the most beneficial way to lose weight. Mm-hmm. However, some people have, I use the term addiction because a lot of people use that term, and that wouldn't be a realistic change for them to make off the bat. So maybe for some people who are that addicted to pop, the better change would be adding fruit. However, if you're adding in extra calories and you're eating the same but you're adding oranges, that's not going to help with your weight loss. That's going to help you be healthier.
Mm-hmm.
But you really leave that up to the client or the patient and say, what would be your most reasonable change that you think you can sustain for the rest of your life at this point? If you drink 5 pops a day, do you think you can sustain 4 a day? Can you go to 3? Can you do half and half of half regular, half diet? What would be the most realistic change that you can keep, and you leave it up to the person?
So that's for them to weigh it against their SMART goals and implement it in a way that they think is the most beneficial. Because my line of thinking, at least when I presented that, was maybe if they're adding in those fruits and vegetables, their addiction or need for pop would decrease naturally. So, but I see what you're saying is that there is a risk if their goal was weight loss, you're adding in extra calories, even if it's a healthier option, while still keeping the bad foods.
Absolutely. And I think the best way of counseling is to guide people, present all the information, and let them make the choices. I my personal style is not to dictate behavior and say, you need to do this, X, Y, and Z. And if you don't do it, then I'm not working with you. I find that to be poor choice of just styles and also just problematic from such a rigid standpoint. And I'm a big fan of putting the person in the driver's seat and making them accountable, because ultimately I'm a guide. I can say go down this road, go down this path, but that's all my role is, to educate and guide and help along the way when you come into plateaus or barriers. And you need to have ultimate responsibility. And then you come back to me next week and say, hey, I've gained weight. And I have to say, well, what did you do? You chose to do this. Did you implement it? If you implemented, where are we going wrong here? Because, you know, if you're cutting calories and you're working out, you're going to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
So you really need to hold that person accountable and make sure they understand that concept, because a lot of people blame other people for their mistakes.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of that. And also another main point here is people often think eating healthy is going to help them lose weight, which it certainly can. But when we were talking last podcast about adding oil, whether it's coconut oil, olive oil, well, you're adding fat. People tend to overconsume fat. They tend to overconsume calories. When people think of fruit juices, they tend to overconsume juice, and yeah, they're drinking extra calories.
Automatically assume fruit juice is good, and
it's yeah, nice. And
it's
then
like more sugar than a pop does.
And yeah. Seeds and nuts are very high in calories. They're healthy fats, and they're good for you. But again, you have to make sure you're choosing the right foods, you're cooking them the right way, and you're choosing the right portion. Those three components, if you don't have three of those in line, you're not going to lose weight, because you can, in theory, gain weight by eating healthier foods.
True.
So you really have to be mindful of what are you taking away, what's your calorie balance, what are your macronutrients, are you hitting your micronutrients, and write out your goals and on a consistent basis hold yourself accountable and monitor your progress. And when you find you don't hit your goal, figure out what you did wrong and see what you can do right.
And a strong component of that seems like, first and foremost, you need to make sure you have a SMART goal.
Mm-hmm.
Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timed goal. Like, mm-hmm. It can't be something ridiculous. Because I'm thinking, if your New Year's resolution is to work out and eat better, let's just keep them general like mm-hmm. that. You want to eat more nutritional foods and you want to work out. Well, if you start working out, you're going to be depleting stores,
mm-hmm.
and you need to make sure you're consuming the right ones to refill those. So you might not see that weight loss in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but you might feel better.
Yeah, you might. You might look better.
Yeah, and you might feel better, you might look better, but you might not notice a weight loss. And that's why I've always, like, as far as like since we started the podcast, talked about staying away from just weighing yourself and the number. Like, if you feel better, that should be enough.
You're right.
You feel better physically, you're going to feel better mentally, emotionally, so go with that. Like, who cares if you weigh less or more?
Well, that's kind of funny you mentioned that, because I had an athlete in this morning. He's here on break, and he was asking me, like, hey, you know how much I weighed when I first got here? I'm like, I was like, yeah, I was like 192, 193, something. Like, oh, yeah. Back in November, so like right after Thanksgiving, that's what he weighed. He said, I weighed himself today, and he goes, he weighed himself today, and he goes, I weigh 205 now. So he gained a little over 10 pounds in maybe a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, like, well, how do you feel? Because you look good. He goes, I feel great. My clothes fit better. I feel good. I feel stronger. And he goes back, he's a college athlete, so he leaves next week. Mm-hmm. He goes, everything feels good. I can't believe I gained 10 pounds. And it goes back to the whole thing. He goes, like to you, he goes, I don't really care what I weigh, as long as I think look good, feel good, perform well. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
And we've said before, the only people that need to really focus upon weight are athletes where their sport is weight divided. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, or I would add, if you have a real health complication that is.
Yeah.
I'll try to get real specific here.
Well,
yeah, I'm just
saying. That's true.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, if on those things for like a health reason,
mm-hmm.
but when it comes just to a normal athlete,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking someone that's has a decently clean bill of health.
Yeah,
we so many people focus on the weight.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, you know, somebody like, well, I lost my goal is to lose 5 pounds a week or 10 pounds a month or you know whatever all these crazy numbers are. I'm like, well, why? Why
unless,
don't you just
like really? Unless your doctor told you you need to lose weight, why are you trying mm-hmm. to lose weight? Like to fit into that swimsuit?
Well, just eat healthy. And again, your weight can go up, and you can look better.
Mm-hmm.
But and again, unless your weight is you have your sport is controlled by weight, or a doctor saying you need to lose it, just eat well, lift well, and then just reap the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about the scale.
Just live well.
Yeah,
live well.
Absolutely. And back to Dave's point of the SMART goals. If you're making New Year's resolutions and you write out your goal, which is highly recommended. You have a goal for the year. It's not a goal for the month or the end of February.
Yeah,
it's for the whole year.
It's not a goal to hit by swimsuit season.
Yeah. So you have a goal for the whole year. Maybe you need to have smaller goals, you know, quarterly goals or monthly goals of how to get to that point. And that's kind of how I approach weight for competition when I have to cut weight. Yes, I have a goal weight in 3 months or 6 months, but I know I have to trend downwards. And I'm not going to have this big dive down in weight because I'm going to lose muscle mass and I'm not going to be as strong, and it defeats the purpose of going down in weight.
Right.
So I have smaller goals monthly, and if I don't hit that monthly goal, then I make weekly goals. Okay, something went wrong, I'm not that weight, I'm going out of weekly weights. And that's kind of how I would suggest presenting your New Year's resolution. You have my goals, wrote them out, and you have smaller goals. How are you going to achieve this? By what way are you going to take realistic actions to achieve these smaller goals that end up to larger goals? So
yeah,
that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, and it's easy. It seems like it'd be easier if you're just basing it on weight, but if you simply want to be healthier,
I would challenge you to quantify that.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I hear people say this, the average layperson, I want to be healthier. What does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean to you?
So what I see what most people come out for is I want to lose weight.
Yeah,
losing weight is my form of being healthy.
Equates to, but maybe like if you want to start working out, okay, like you want to start working out. So that's a difficult one to quantify. So you could just take it down to the times you work out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, well, I'll start off, I'm going to work out once a week for the first month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm up at to twice a week for the second month. So by February, you want to be up to working out 2 times a week. March, you're up to 3 times a week, which is a fantastic goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get more specific and, okay, well, maybe you get a heart rate monitor and go, okay, now I need my workouts to be a little more intense than they have been. And you can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Writing all that down, tracking that, would be a good, realistic goal.
Yeah. But people don't want to do that. It takes too long.
It does.
You're telling me 12 weeks before I can actually start seeing something.
You're making a New Year's resolution. If you're like Brad said, you're declaring a goal for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But no, people's New Year's resolution is I'm going to do this for a month or two.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything's going to change.
I want to be in shape by Valentine's Day.
But if you're listening to this and you've made New Year's resolutions and you have a history of not making that achieving your goal, maybe you should do something different. You need to do something different if mm-hmm. you want to start seeing results.
Absolutely.
And that is writing your goal down. Even if you're not going to go as in-depth as we're talking about, at least write it down. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I put it in my phone, I wrote it down, and I check in on it frequently. Like, I was checking on my past New Year's resolution. And like, okay, did I achieve this one? Did I achieve this one? And, you know, I hit all my goals, which weren't like grandiose goals or whatever you want to call it, and that's how it should be realistic.
Well, like we have goals for like our business, like for the podcast mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I get it. We all know them, and so we're all going to strive to make sure that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helps is when you have other people that know your goals
and we discuss them frequently.
Yeah, we discuss them frequently.
We revisit it a lot,
mm-hmm.
and that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure we're all on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But I mean, if it's just you, it's still important to revisit it. And like Brad said, write down your goal. Write down how you feel about your goal.
Writing's good. I write a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest thing when it comes to New Year's resolutions, it seems like they only last as long as it's okay to say Happy New Year to somebody. It's like, you know, when's the deadline for saying Happy New Year?
Yeah.
Oh, you know how awkward it is when you ask someone like how your New Year's resolution is in like October? Whoa, yeah. This guy's weird.
It's 10 minutes ago, man.
It's Halloween. I'm not thinking about that.
Yeah. But you guys make a good point, though, where it's New Year's resolution. So it's the new year, you're going to have a new resolution, which if someone asks you what's your resolution in October, you should be spitting it out because it hasn't been another year yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so you're still stuck on your original resolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think...
And usually what you hear is, well, it was this, mm-hmm. but now
How long did that last?
I got 3 months and then I'll get back on it,
yeah.
essentially.
Exactly.
You're stuck in that same rut.
The recurring theme with a lot of these podcasts is, you know, we have these different things like New Year's resolution, whatever, but it's like a deep cultural problem that we face. Again, it's like the cultural norm is to have a New Year's resolution
mm-hmm.
from January to maybe February, whatever it is, but not past that.
Nope.
And that's the problem why we have all these epidemics of whatever disease states or just people not happy with themselves or the way they look or the way they feel. And, you know, I think that's part of the problem is you have this culture revolved around these habits and what's normal.
Yeah. You know what? Stop making New Year's resolutions. Make a new month resolution.
Yeah.
Every month.
Why did it say resolution instead of goal? Does it just sound better?
I don't know. Is there a definition difference between? I don't know.
But I mean, the idea of it is, it's everybody's like, oh, the new year, the new beginning. It's like spring. You know, we always do our spring clean. Well, if you clean all year long, you wouldn't have to do a spring cleaning.
I've never done spring cleaning.
I've never done that either.
Because
you clean all year. Yeah. Yeah. But see, I get the same thing. I mean, it's just like, we always have these things set out, like, well, I'm going to do this at this time of year. I'm going to do this at this time. Why? Why don't you just, the only really things you can put out at certain times of year is maybe decorations, because they're specifically for that time of span. Mm-hmm. But when something that has to do with you, like, well, I'm going to start lifting hard now because I get ready for my summer body. Well, shouldn't it be just your body? Shouldn't your summer body be your same as your fall, winter, and spring? Yeah.
Balance out. Don't be so strict on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, again, it goes back to the whole cultural thing, is we have to look good at certain stages. And again, we always talk about the guys that come in and, you know, they do their their six bicep curls and the bench press, and they go look at themselves in the mirror. They're not looking for functionality. They could care less how they move in 20 years from now.
Looking to attract a mate.
Yeah, that's all they're doing.
And because you notice it, when people get into relationships, they get fat.
Yeah, they stop working out.
They're like, okay, I got what I was after.
Mm-hmm.
So their goal was never to better themselves.
No.
It was to attract a mate.
What would be interesting is two people that are like kind of obsessive like that, they get in shape to attract a mate, and they get together, and then as things decline and looks start to fade away and old age sets in, well, not only that, like, you can't fight old age. No, what happens to that relationship?
Yeah, if that's what it's based on,
but that's going way off subject.
No,
yeah.
But
hopefully it was just like, that was just like to attract them, and later they found some common ground. But yeah, that's a good point to bring up too.
But yeah, I mean, that's how it is. But we always have these ideas where when it comes to the New Year's resolution, someone's like, well, I want to lose weight, I want to get fitter, I want to look better. And they have all these ideas, but no one ever says, I just want to be a better moving human, I don't want to be this. Because to be honest, like we've talked about before, is to move better, to feel better, that's not sexy. That doesn't look good for the most people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people tell me before, like, well, you work with a lot of people, and you know, not everyone you work with is in great shape. Well, no, they are in good shape. They move better than most people. They don't wake up with aches and pains. That's what my job is for them to do. Yeah. Is so they can move. Like, well, why don't you make them do this? They can
perform better. Wink, wink.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. And that's the one thing I hear all the time from people. And a lot of young people don't really want to do that, because they're like, well, I don't have any aches and pains. Why do I want to work with you? Well, I'll make sure you never hit that plateau, and your performance level goes through the roof. But it's just, it's amazing how we're so focused on the aesthetics. You know, when it comes to eating, you talk to someone that looks good, you say, hey, what do you eat? Oh, I eat chicken and broccoli. Chicken, broccoli, and rice.
Oh, I need to eat chicken,
steak,
broccoli,
steak,
rice?
Steak, broccoli, and rice. Sweet potatoes.
Every day.
Yeah, almonds a little bit, and then a lot of protein powder. And that's what they think, oh, that guy eats that. I need to eat that to be healthy. Not knowing that his digestive system's a mess, because I know a lot of bodybuilders that eat that stuff and they destroy the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, just destroy wretched. It. And Brad's over here just smiling. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We witnessed it today.
Yes, we did.
Walked by a bathroom, just like, ah. It's terrible.
But see, that's what the culture looks at. They don't look at, you know, the internals of somebody. They don't look at, okay, does the person have a good mental state? Are they moving well without pain? Again, I've seen a lot of guys that they look good, but they move like robots, and you can tell they're in pain. You see when they squat down, they're just like, you know, they're cringing their face.
Yeah. And how do you expect to perform well? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors, if your hip mobility is off, like,
well,
you can't squat well, like, you're just going for the basic, the boring vanilla stuff.
You guys, you've seen my squat, so you know what that means.
What up, girl?
But I mean, it's, yeah, we've kind of trampled off topic a lot and kind of attacked the same issues we've always talked about.
But I mean, we have like the theme of today, as far as like everything we talked about with these changes, they need to be small, incremental, mm-hmm. and consistent.
Yeah, sustainable.
As far as when you,
that's the key, sustainable.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. When you're doing anything, do that. As far as like My past, 2015 New Year's resolution, I don't go out to declare everything. I just wanted to be more selfish. And I was more selfish in a good way. I focused on me. I got rid of the shoulder pain. I'm doing something that brings me emotionally and mental happiness. So I was able to do that stuff. And of course, it changed throughout the year. At the beginning of the year, I was like, okay, what does being more selfish, focusing on me, mean to me? And each month, I was able to kind of reevaluate and go for something that fulfilled me.
And see, I don't really have a resolution per se. I just have goals that I want to achieve this year.
Yeah.
You know, nothing more of like an individual goal on myself other than that I want to accomplish certain things to make me feel successful of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never wanted to waste year, because when I was playing baseball, when I got done playing, and I had all these buddies that were married and had kids or, you know, years into their career, and I just got done, and I'm done playing baseball. I'm like, okay, what do I do next? I'm like,
yeah.
I'm 28 and thinking, like, life just kind of, I wasted so many years here. What am I going to do next?
But I think that, you know, I thought the same thing, not about baseball, whatever, but I think that's a big mistake of my thought pattern, too, was evaluating where everyone else is in their life. And, like, oh, the social trend is you graduate high school, you either get a job or go to college, then you get out of college, you get a wife, and then kids. And then that's, I think it was Shakespeare said something to the effect, like, you're living out a play that someone else wrote.
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially is like, is that really what you want? Or is that just the social norm that you're following? And is, you know, because I ask myself the same question, that's not what I want. And sometimes I'll even see, like, other people are married, and I'm like, I don't want that. But at the same time, that's, people perceive that as normal. And I know them, and that relationship's awful, but I'm not married, and I always get the weirdest questions.
It's like a status symbol.
Yeah.
Almost like being married. Like, if you're in your 30s, why aren't you married?
Yeah, something's wrong with you.
Yeah, you're abnormal if you're not. But I like the Shakespearean thing, because it goes back to what we've talked about as far as, like, at the end of the day, it's your story.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to write it, or are you going to let someone else write it?
Mm-hmm.
Because either way, you have to look back and be happy with what's written.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of people, especially young girls, who think they have this fairy tale, like, I just want to be married. And then they go through the first marriage.
Yeah. What does that mean? Like, okay, you're married. You're in debt. You're married. What does that change? You get a new last name. Your taxes are a little different. But really, what does that change?
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing. Like, it just means you're misses someone.
Instead. You have a cozier roommate.
Instead, yeah. It doesn't, like, your life's not going to all of a sudden get better.
Mm-hmm.
Although some people treat it like it was, because a lot of people gift stuff when couples are married. Like,
oh, yeah.
Those young couples, like, oh, okay, you're married. Like, we have no problem co-signing on your house now and stuff like that. You have those large presents.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes along with that.
Mm-hmm. But again, that's all stuff. All materialistic things don't develop who you are or create who you are.
Yeah.
The way you look does not defy who you are.
You can't tie your identity to being married.
Or status symbols.
Your identity to someone else either.
Mm-hmm. No.
We've talked about that as far as, like, your happiness relying on someone else's happiness is very dangerous.
Yeah, because it'll crash and burn. But again, it all goes back to, we can complete circle this, is when it comes to, like, the new year, is we have to focus on what is going to make us happy,
mm-hmm.
deep down. Not necessarily what's going to make our partner happy or our friends happy or whatever the culture of society was going to make it
mm-hmm.
more happy. It's what's going to make us happy. If someone's resolution is to eat a pizza a day, God bless them, and I hope they survive the year. But it's like,
go for it.
But again, it's,
don't come to me and talk about fitness at the same time.
Yeah.
Don't come to me and talk about nutrition at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, if that's your goal, stick with it. Go for it. And
we're
really,
a lot,
like,
of fat people now.
Like, not even just New Year's resolution. Go for what makes you happy by the day, if you need to,
mm-hmm.
by the week, by the month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one little thing is,
because it's going to change.
Well, I always tell people when they talk about New Year's resolution, is the first question I ask is why? Why is it? Well, because I want to be this. Why? Get down to the root cause. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this goal going to make you better,
yeah, like,
or make you happy?
I look better in a swimsuit. Why?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you dive down to the root of the issue, and it turns out your happiness is based on other people's, strangers' approval of you.
Yes. Yeah, your self-esteem.
Well, why? Why do you have so low? Maybe instead of focusing on getting down to that swimsuit size, you focus on, you attack the self-esteem issue. Why do I have low self-esteem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you dive into that, and you go for, you attack it from a mental aspect. You go for mental health, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, there's taboos around
that. Yeah, oh, that'd be, that's a rat's nest, too. Because if someone's like, oh, I just want to look better in a bikini, they don't know any, like, they don't ask themselves questions of, like, why.
Yeah, yeah.
And they aren't even aware they have self-esteem issues.
Oh, really?
Issues.
You have self-esteem issues? And you're just sitting there analyzing.
Yeah, and they figure that out for themselves. I can just imagine, like, the...
Just everything crumbles, just...
Oh no!
Why they start crying and you leave. I'm like, oh,
like, I didn't mean to bring that on. Turns out I can't comfort other people. I'm okay with that, but apparently you're not bi.
Yeah. Just don't read the obituaries the next few days.
Yeah.
But again, like we see that in the gym all the time. Someone goes, like I'm sure you've seen it a lot, where they're working out and you're like, so why are you working out? Well, they're doing a leg machine or they're doing a machine. Mm-hmm. And like, well, I'm trying to get stronger. Well, essentially, machines technically won't make you stronger. They will make you more defined or this or that, but they actually put you in negative positions.
Unless you're part machine.
Yeah, unless you're part machine. But, and that's the thing is, someone said, I want to be better at this or better at that. I'm like, well, then if you want to be better at that, then get underneath the bar. Do some squats, do some powerlifting, do some deadlifts, do some walking lunges, mm-hmm. do some kettlebell exercises. Well, that's too hard. I'm just going to do the machines because it makes me look good. Or
well,
makes me feel good.
Start with just the bar. Do little incremental changes.
But again, someone can go work out and hit every machine. And to be honest, it's really not that difficult because you don't need good form. You just need to be able to sit down and move a joint the way it's meant to do. You put someone underneath the bar, there's a lot more skill, there's a lot more technique, and there's a lot more discipline that takes place in that.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially the same thing. If I tell someone to eat chicken and broccoli every day, that's pretty much easy to do. Just mm-hmm. make chicken and broccoli.
Takes the thought out of it.
To make
takes the thought out of it.
Educated decisions on what whole foods, non-processed foods, that takes more effort.
Mm-hmm. But again, if we eat the same foods every day, our body will basically do the same thing as we do if we live the same way. Our body will find the most efficient way to burn the least amount of calories or burn those calories efficiently.
Yeah.
So we become malnourished if we eat the same foods every day, and we become weak if we do the same exercises every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of one of the things is, we have to know why we're doing something. We have to know why we're making a certain goal. And then we also have to have progressions, regressions to each one of those goals.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to do, if our goal is to do, be able to do 1,000 push-ups a day, well, first of all, our shoulders will probably have severe arthritis for one. But for, before we can do that, we have to make sure we can do the push-up correctly, regress and progress depending on how we want to do it. If we want to eat healthy, we have to figure out foods that our body can consume well and then regress, progress those certain foods.
And like what you're eating and not be like,
yes.
Oh, I don't like
at
this, but I have to eat.
At the same time, focus on quality of life.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tell you how many times people come to me and like, hey, give me recipes. Like, I don't even know you. Like, what do you like? What foods do you like?
Go to allrecipes.com, homie.
Yeah, there's so many sites of like 1,000 different recipes out there. Like,
try them out. See what you like.
Yeah.
Like, don't... I'm not eating for you.
Give them like the, call it a tuna, casserole, spinach, avocado, beet, salad. Just start naming weird foods. Like, there's your recipe.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Yeah. See how they react.
Oh, but, you want recipes? Cabbage.
But they, you can tell they haven't thought it through. They, oh, I'm asking a stranger who doesn't know me for recipes. Not only do I not know the financial limits, I don't know how many they're feeding, or they just feed themselves. Like, they haven't thought this through. To ask, like, just give me recipes or give me a meal plan. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, it's that easy?
You get the highest grade caviar you can find.
With some
just
truffles.
Start trolling people. I'm going to be the no one's coming to me for business ever. Like, this guy's an ass.
You have to take that and you have to roast a spinach leaf and put the caviar on.
Find some wild buffalo.
Yeah. And kill it yourself.
Kill it yourself.
Now, you can't use any firearms. It's better when it's killed with a blade.
Yes.
A short one.
And if it's your own hand, it's better because then your blood gets inside the meat.
Preferably a dull 3-inch or less blade.
It's like, ah! People just stab a buffalo all across the periton now.
Now, after it's dead, you're only going to take the eyeballs because that's all you need. Because all the terror and juices and tastiness are in the eyeballs. Oh, gosh.
We're going to have a buffalo shortage now. People are just going to start killing buffalo.
PETA's going to show up.
What are you doing? Well, it's like when people ask me questions about fitness, they're like, oh, how do I do this? How do I do this? And my question, and I I've tried to help people out before, and I've gone to I fell in that rabbit hole asking them questions, and it just spun off. And typically, I'm always out with my wife or somebody like that, and mm-hmm. I'm just trying to enjoy the evening.
Yeah.
And I get caught in this conversation for like an hour, and I just want to rip my hair out, but I can't because it's too nice.
Oh my God.
You were saving that one.
You were saving,
saving that one.
Well, for that, I like to. What Brad said, it was a while ago, as far as like when people ask you how to be healthier, how to eat better, how to work out more efficiently, or when will they be able to make those changes, it's going to be like you'll be able to make those changes in your life when you make it a priority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's where the conversation
yep,
stops.
Priority. Because again, most of them, when they ask you those questions in a bar or at a restaurant or just in a grocery store, that's not their priority.
I can't live your life for you. You need to write your own book. Mm-hmm.
So now I tell them is move more, and I give my business card. Like, move more? What does that mean?
Brad,
move more.
Brad just goes fruits and vegetables, and then
here, flicks it in their face as they hand to him.
It's a scratch and sniff.
That would be
smells
great
like the
was.
Fruits you need to eat.
Oh, they're just like, nope,
great
not
idea.
It. Nope, not it.
Blueberries.
They're just going to. Then they're like, start tasting that. It doesn't taste like a blueberry.
Hints of pomegranate.
So snozzberry smells like snozzberries. All right, guys. Last remarks. Dave.
Ask why.
Like before or after the event?
All the time. Before, after, during. Just ask yourself why.
Ask why. That's actually not a bad one. Brad?
I have nothing. I'm actually not even sure what we talked about. I think we were talking about modifications.
We talked about a lot. Well, we kind of did a little bit of that. We talked about modifications in the New Year's resolution. We talked about the cultural aspects of the New Year's resolution and how we feel it's kind of corrupted, and we need to – when someone makes that resolution, the basic bottom line is make it for a year. Know why you do it, and then find these certain changes to stick to it. Don't just make a resolution because someone told you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
No reason why.
It was a great recap.
It was a great recap. See?
Good job.
See, I pay attention.
I pay taxes.
Okay. I'm glad.
Thank you.
Thank you for our roads and police department and everything. Thank you, Dave.
Whatever. Just my 2 cents.
Mike, what's your... I think that was your last
point. That was my last point. It was just kind of the recap is knowing why you do something. And when it comes to any kind of goal or resolution, it's better to do it with a group. Or if not a group, have some kind of
support structure.
A support structure. And if you don't have a group of people that you feel confident enough to confide in, writing it down and seeing it every day. Like I have this little postcard next to my computer. I see it every day, and it basically says, how are you going to change the world today? And it doesn't mean I have to make some great, you know, some huge change. I'm not trying to, you know, cure cancer or feed the world, but it's, if I can just help one person, and that person helps one person, and so on and so forth, it spreads. And the idea is that to take care of myself, and taking care of myself, I can take care of others. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at it. And that's kind of my goal every day is, what can I do to make the world I live in better so the rest of my family, the rest of my friends, and hopefully the rest of my my children and stuff like that have a place they can feel respected and comfortable in.
Mm.
Because if I don't do my part, then I'm just another problem.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion, leaving a quote or a positive affirmation somewhere where you see it daily. Like I was going to put... if today was your last day, would you want to do what you're currently doing today, like by the door every time I left? Just so, like, if you don't like what you're doing, make changes to make a different reality.
That's good. And all that stuff, it just helps. You see it, you read it, and you let it sink in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people today, they read something or they watch some motivational movie, and it doesn't sink in. They think, oh, this is entertaining. Well, yes, it's entertaining, but take it in. Feel the words and understand what the words mean. And then you can actually put that into your own life and don't just half-heartedly do something. Don't half-heartedly eat. Don't half-heartedly work out. Know why you do it and do it for a reason.
All right.
Good.
Good.
All right, then. That's awesome. Oh, nope.